So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 6, The Killing of the Demon Putana, beginning with text number 11. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this is one of our favorite pastimes from 10th canto, famous pastime, Krishna killing Putana. We have a lot of verses to cover, so we'll sing them Mangalacharan in the beginning. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanamanu Bhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadandigam Aradhanastranandandai Ridamyache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padamujo Dulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Panchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. So this is a very interesting pastime from Gokul. And our Jiva Goswami and in his Gopal Champu and our Kavi Karnapur in his Ananda Vrindavan Champu, they give lots of interesting details about this wonderful pastime. So we're beginning with text number 11. It's well chanted. Samuncha munchalam iti prabhasini nispidamya naikila jiva marmani vivityani tri charano bujo muhu pravina gatra shipati rurudaha. I'm barely pressed in every vital point. The demon Putana began to cry, "Please leave me! Leave me! Suck my breast no more!" Perspiring, her eyes wide open and her arms and legs failing, she cried very loudly again and again. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, the Rakshasi was severely punished by Krishna. She threw her arms and legs about, and Krishna also began to kick his legs to punish her properly for her mischievous activities. So Jiva Goswami describes, it's very interesting here, because this is a pastime where everybody gets to take part in this pastime. As Prabhupada explains in Krishna book, in relation to this Krishna's appearance, that when Brijendranandan Chamsundar appears, all the avatars, all the expansions, everything merge with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada explains that actually the killing of the demons isn't done by Brijendranandan Chamsundar. He only enjoys loving pastimes with his devotees. Killing that business, that is done by Mahavishnu. So Mahavishnu, he's also there within Krishna. Krishna is just enjoying. He's just having wonderful time. All the killing of the demons done by who? Mahavishnu. Here we have a specifically yesterday mentioned that Putana smeared poison all over her breast. Such a powerful poison, even 1,000 elephants would die by a drop of this poison. So we know that whenever there's poison, who do we call? Who the poison buster? When there's poison, who do we call? Lord Shiva. So he's also within Krishna. So Lord Shiva, he came, he drank all the, licked all the poison off of the breast. That's his duty. So then, Krishna, he's just enjoying, so he drank the milk. Then Mahavishnu, who's also there within Krishna, he grabbed Putana's breast. Here, just he kicked her and so many things. This is all done by Mahavishnu. And Putana was screaming and screaming and screaming, "Oh, child, leave me, leave me." She was suffering like anything. She had caused so much suffering to so many small children. Now the tables were turned. She was suffering like anything. So text number 12. Tasya swane natiga bira ramahasa sadvir mahidyo cha cha chalan sagraha rasa dishas pa cha pratine dire janaha petu shito vajra nipata shankaya. As Putana screamed loudly and forcefully, the earth with its mountains and outer space with its planets trembled. The lower planets in all directions vibrated, and people fell down, fearing that thunderbolts were falling upon them. Purport, Srila Bisvanatha Chakravarti Thakur remarks that in this verse, the word rasa refers to the planetary systems below the earth, such as Rasatala, Atala, Bitala, Sutala, and Talatala. So Putana's screaming was so loudly and so loud and so forceful, all the poor Brijbasis, their brains were shocked. They thought thunderbolts were crashing down upon them. And it says even the lower planetary systems, here's mentioned Rasa, so that's Rasatala. So even the lower planetary systems were disturbed by Putana screaming. So text number 13. Nisa charitam vyatita vstana vyasur vyadaya kesham charano bujavapi prasarya goste nijarupam astita vrajahato vritta ivapatam nripam. In this way, the demon Putana, very much aggrieved because her breast was being attacked by Krishna, lost her life. O King Parikshit, opening her mouth wide and spreading her arms and legs and hair, she fell down in the pasturing ground in her original form as a Rakshasi, as Vritasura had fallen when killed by the thunderbolt of Indra. Purport, Putana was a great Rakshasi who knew the art of covering her original form by mystic power. But when she was killed by her killed, her mystic power could not hide her, and she appeared in original form. So Gopalchambo describes, actually, she was screaming and shouting, and she ran to the door, and it appeared that she flew through the sky into the pasturing grounds. But Jiva Goswami explains, actually, Krishna threw her, because he knew now she's going to assume her original form. And we'll hear about how huge this form is. So Krishna tossed her through the air, and she landed in the pasturing grounds. And then she assumed this original huge form. So explain here that even though she was very expert, actually, when she first entered Gokul, she had a very beautiful body. She was so powerful that she was a ugly, hideous rakshasi, but she made a beautiful body, that even the brishpasis, they had no doubt. They saw her so beautiful, they began to speculate that maybe Sachi Devi, the wife of Lord Indra, has come to take darshan of Nandalala. No, it must be Gauri, the wife of Lord Shiva. No, she's playing with a lotus flower. It must be Lakshmiji, the consort of Lord Vishnu, has come. This way, her disguise, she was so powerful, even the Brishpasis couldn't understand. Even the Brishpasis were unable to detect her. And they were speculating about who this personality was. So, and now she's revealing her original form. And Krishna knows that she will smash the whole of Gokul. So he threw her outside in the pasturing grounds. When you're coming from Brahmandagat to Gokul, on the way you'll see the land sort of goes down. You can, very gently you can see it going down. The Brishpasis, they told me, this is where Putana fell. And you can see there's sort of a little gully there. And she smashed the ground in such a way that one leg fell over here, one arm fell over there, another leg fell over there. When you're on that road, it goes down. In fact, in 2010, when we had a flood in the Jamuna, that part of the road was underwater. Before you get to Gokul, it went under the water and then came up. Just a little bit. It was just a little bit of water. You can still go by car. And you'll see that she landed in such a way, one leg fell over here, so that land is down, and you see the land beside it is up, like this. On both, between her legs, the land is high, where the two legs fell, and where one arm fell, and you can see the land is very strange there. So all the Brishpasis told me, this is where Putana fell. And that smashing to the ground, huge trembling of the earth and everything, we can just imagine. So Prabhupada explains, although she could hide her form, her mystic power was nothing in front of Krishna. And she appeared in her original form. The text 14. Pattamano pita deha striga yutyantara druman churnayam asha rajendra maharasitarad bhutam. O King Parikshit, when the gigantic body of Putana fell to the ground, it smashed all the trees within a limit of 12 miles. Appearing in a gigantic body, she was certainly extraordinary. Purport, because of grievous hurt imposed upon her by Krishna sucking her breath, to Putana while dying, not only left the room, but abandoned the village and fell down in the pasturing ground in her gigantic body. And so we just described, actually, our Gopal Champu describes Krishna threw her out into the fields. And interesting thing Gopal Champu describes, she was so beautiful. It's described that she passed through the whole village. Nobody stopped her. Nobody detected that she was coming to harm Krishna. She was such a powerful rakshasi. She could hide even from the Brishpasis. Even from Mother Yasoda. Mother Yasoda and Rohini were sitting there without even knocking the door. Putana entered this house, this beautiful lady swirling a lotus flower. She entered the house and walked right in front of Mother Yasoda and Mother Rohini and went to directly to the room where Krishna was lying in his cradle. And Mother Yasoda was thinking, she saw her, she thought, she was so overcome by the beauty of Putana's false form, that she thought, am I the mother? Or is she the mother? Is she the mother? Or am I the mother? Even Mother Yasoda and Rohini couldn't understand. Now this is most amazing, because it's described how Mother Yasoda, she's so protective of Krishna, even her best friends have a hard time to see her. See him. She's so protective. Somebody will come. Oh, he just woke up. I have to bathe him. You please come later. Oh, I just bathed him. Now I have to feed him. You please come some other time. Like that. I just fed him. He has to take rest. Even her best friends can't even come to see him so easily. Now, strange woman, without even knocking the door, walks into the house, walks towards Krishna's cradle, and Mother Yasoda and Mother Rohini don't do anything. So our acharyas have explained that it can only mean that Krishna expanded his yogamaya potency. Otherwise, even Mother Yasoda's best friends can't see Krishna so easily. She's so protective. So this Rakshasi, she appeared in her original form, and smash, here's this 12 miles long form. We can't imagine such a huge demon. And Krishna is just a few years old. A few days old. So 15 to 17. Ishamatrogradam strasyam giri kandara nasikam gandashailastanam rudram prakirnaruna murdapjam andakupa gabiraksham pulindaroha bishanam badasetu bujovangri shunyatoya radadaram santarasu smata Bhiksha gopa gopya kalevaram purvam tu tani hasvanita binavrit karna mastaka. Now, a description of Putana when she changed original form. The Rakshasi's mouth was full of sharp teeth, each resembling the front of a plow. Her nostrils were deep like mountain caves, and her breasts resembled big slabs of stone fallen from a hill. Her scattered hair was the color of copper. The sockets of her eyes appeared like deep blind wells. Andakupa, we know this word, huh? Andakupa. Her fearful thighs resembled the banks of a river. Her arms, legs, and feet seemed like big bridges, and her abdomen appeared like a dried-up lake. The hearts, ears, and heads of the coward men and women were already shocked by the Rakshasi's screaming, and when they saw the fierce wonder of her body, they were even more frightened. So we just had this horrible... We're just trying to imagine. They were seeing directly in front of their eyes. They're already shocked by the horrible screaming of Putana. But this huge, horrible form, her legs like banks of a river, her arms like bridges, her belly like a dried up lake, her breasts like slabs of stone, very horrible. So the Brijbasis became even more shocked. We can't imagine what happened to Mother Yasoda. Now we come to text 18. Balam cha tasya urasi kridantam akutobayam gopyas turnam samabhyetya jagrihur jatasambramaha. Balam cha, the child also, tasyaha, of that Rakshasi Putana, urasi, on the upper portion of the breast, kridantam, engaged in playing, akutobayam, without fear, gopyaha, all the coward women, turnam, immediately, samabhyetya, coming near, jagrihu, picked up, Jata Sambrahma. With the same affection and respect they always maintain. Translation: without fear, the child Krishna was playing on the upper portion of Putana Rakshasi's breast. And when the gopis saw the child's wonderful activities, they immediately came forward with great jubilation and picked him up. Translation, please repeat. Without fear, the child Krishna was playing on the upper portion of Putana Rakshasi's breast. And when the gopis saw the child's wonderful activities, they immediately came forward with great jubilation and picked him up. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Though the Rakshasi Putana could increase or decrease her bodily size by her mystic abilities and thus gain proportionate power, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is equally powerful in any transcendental form. Krishna is the real personality of Godhead because whether as a child or as a grown-up young man, he is the same person. He does not need to become powerful by meditation or any other external endeavor. Therefore, when the greatly powerful Putana expanded her body, Krishna remained the same small child and fearlessly played on the upper portion of her breast. Sadaishvarya Purna, Bhagwan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is always full of all potencies, regardless of whether he is present in this form or that. His potencies are always full. Parashya Shakti Vividai Visruyate. He can display all potencies under any circumstances. Balam cha tasya urasi kridantam akuto bayam gopyas turnam samabhyetya jagrihur jata sambrahma. Without fear, the child was playing at the upper portion of Putana Rakshasi's breast. And when the gopis saw the child's wonderful activities, they immediately came forward and with great jubilation picked him up. So immediately everyone, they saw the most extraordinary pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They were totally shocked. And they all came forward. Krishna was there. He was playing. Here it said he was playing on the breast of Putana. Everybody else was very shocked. Mother Yasoda completely fainted away. She was thinking, oh, by some pious credit, after a long time, I got this child, Krishna, as my son. By some offense that I've made, I've lost him. She thought he was lost when she saw this Putana. She fainted away. And all the gopis came running because all the cowherd men had gone to Mathura to pay taxes. So all the gopis came. They made a big line up her belly, up to the breast, and they grabbed the child from one to the next, one to the next, one to the next, one to the next. Finally, they put that child in Mother Yasoda's lap. Mother Yasoda regained her consciousness. And she began to praise how the Supreme Lord has saved my child. And we'll hear next to describe how they take a switch made from the tail hairs of a cow and switched it all around, and she chanted the 12 names of Lord Vishnu, because it's described where Lord Vishnu's name is chanted, no rakshas, rakshasi, bhut, preta, they can remain. Just like one time, we've read in the Lilamrita, one time Prabhupada was staying in John Lennon's estate, Tittenhurst Estate, in London, while they were fixing a Buri Place temple. So, John Lennon had let them stay because our Shyam Sundar was a carpenter, so there was some part of the buildings that needed some carpentry work. So in exchange for staying there, Shyamchandra was doing the work. And he had one manager who was overseeing all the work. But the manager was coming late every day to work because he couldn't get proper sleep. Because in his house, all these strange noises like people walking and chains dragging, all kinds of weird noises were happening at night. His wife was convinced that the place was ghostly haunted. Oh, nonsense, dear, it's just rats. Anyway, one day the wife told the devotees about why he was coming late every day, because they can't get proper sleep because of all these noises. But somehow the devotees, they mentioned to Srila Prabhupada about this. And Prabhupada said, oh, you should go there and you should all chant Maha Mantra and you should dance counterclockwise. Dance in a circle counterclockwise. The ghosts are there on the other side, so everything there is backwards for them. So you go counterclockwise. All those ghosts will be gone. So they told the lady, and she was very interested. Her husband wasn't, it's all nonsense, it's just rats in the rafters. But anyway, the home ministry went out. So she invited all of the devotees over to the house, and they had kirtan, and they all danced around in a circle going counterclockwise. And the big ecstatic kirtan was there. And next day, he came to the estate very bright-eyed and came early, in fact. And said, you chased away all the rats. So, oh, honey, it was ghosts. They got rid of the ghosts. So Mother Yasoda was chanting all these 12 names of Lord Vishnu to chase away all the ghosts and hobgoblins and bhutas and pretas and chetas and all these rakshasas and rakshasis. So we'll hear about that in the next verses. Here the point that Prabhupada makes, very interesting point, is that Krishna, he's just few days old, and Putana, we just saw, her form is 12 miles long, such a huge, powerful rakshasi, and this is just few days old child. But Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in any condition. Just like the Mayavadis, this is the point that Prabhupada is trying to make, the Mayavadis, they tell how you have to, they talk about how they perform so many penances and austerities, they lived in the Himalayas, sitting in the ice water in the winter time, and sitting in the fire, you can go down to the Kumbh Mela and see the sadhus with all these cow dung fires all around them, and a big clay pot on top of their head with cow dung fire going on. And they're sitting in the hot sun, chanting and doing all their austerities. Of course, these are all Vaishnava sadhus, so doing the austerities for Krishna. But generally, people are doing all these penances and austerities in order to become God. And they write their books, and they talk about how they did this and how they did that, and how one day they stuck their finger in the electric socket and they got a big shock. They went flying to the other room. Bang, they bang their head and suddenly they realize that I'm God. But it's not that God has to become God. God is always God in any condition of life. It's not that you can... God is already there. Because we know everything is created by God. I mean, the small child in the missionary school, he knows God created everything. So God was the first thing. So he was always there. It's not that somehow he became God. He had to go to engineering school and learn how to engineer the universe and get his degree and do his apprenticeship. No. Without anything, he's always God. It's not that, so there's no question of becoming God. God is already there. How can you become God? But they're telling us that, yes, you perform these austerities, you chant this mantra, you give me $50 and I will make you God. But there's no question of God becoming God. God doesn't have to go to school. There's no school for becoming God. God is God in all circumstances. Past, present and future. So here Krishna is only a few days old child and this huge rakshasi has come. And even as a tiny child, immediately he dispatched Putana very easily, without any trouble. She was screaming like anything, Krishna, and we just read, Krishna was playing. You generally, if we do some hard tasks, and we're just like that. But here's this guy, Krishna was playing on Putana's breast. It wasn't any effort for him at all. So, over and over in this purport, Prabhupada makes the point that God is always God in any circumstance. Even he playing the part. Krishna's never doesn't become a small child. This form eternally exists in the spiritual world. And it's all powerful in any condition. Even as a small, few days old child, he was able to dispatch this huge Rakshasi Putana. So our position is not that we're not practicing our sadhana to become God. We're practicing our sadhana to become devotee of God. And you just think about it, which is better, to be God or be devotee? Just like sometimes I imagine, you know, Radhesham Sundar, Krishna Balaram, they're standing there. All these Kali Yuga creatures are coming and taking darshan. All types of shapes and forms and weird looking creatures. That's what they're seeing. What are we seeing? We're seeing, oh, Krishna and Balaram, so beautiful. Balaram's got his musal one day, that nice gold-plated musal. And Shamsundar's got a beautiful flute with a peacock in the end. And Radharani has so beautiful garlands. And Shamsundar has so beautiful garlands. This is what... So which is better, to be God or be the devotee? So our interest is not to become God. Our interest is our position is to return to our original position, our Jivera Swarupoi, Nitya Krishna Das. Our eternal position is as the servant of Krishna. Because I also, before I became devotee, we were also taking certain substances and speculating at the speed of mind, and we'd always come to the conclusion, I'm God, you're God. We're all God. Look at all these foolish people. They don't know they're God, you know. And then after the substance would wear off, we go, wait a minute. Something's not right, you know. I had it all figured out last night. And I can't figure it out this morning. Just like somehow or other, we were living in the mountains above Boulder, Colorado, because 1969, that's where Boulder was one of the places, besides Woodstock, one of the places that everybody went was Boulder, Colorado. And they were just living in little plastic shelters in the mountains, because the weather, it was summertime, the weather was very nice. So one time, we saw this, there was a beautiful mountain, so we decided we'd go climb to the top of the mountain. Because I always like to do simple, not heavy mountain climbing like they do in Everest, but just simple mountains we have in California and in the Rocky Mountains. So one friend and I, we decided to climb together up to the top of the mountain. So we're going along and suddenly we came to this very heavy barbed wire fence. It's a Boulder City watershed. Trespassers will be prosecuted. This river coming down was the drinking water of the town of Boulder down below. So they didn't want you going there. But the easiest, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. The straight line went across this prohibited place. So I looked at my friend, did you see a sign? I didn't see any sign. Sign? What sign? You saw a sign? I didn't see no sign. So we squeezed through the barbed wire, then we did exactly what they didn't want us to do. We got to the river, and immediately took off all our clothes and jumped in the river and took our bath. So we were bathing in the water supply of Boulder City, which is exactly what they didn't want us to do. Anyway, they had built a dam. We got to the other side, we dried off, we put our clothes back on, and we were walking. And they made a dam, so they had smashed all the trees to make this dam. So we stuck out like sore thumbs. We were walking in the forest, no one could see us. So the forest ranger saw us. So the forest ranger came and picked us up. and said, "You boys is trespassing." I said, "I'm a child of God. This is my father's property, so how am I trespassing?" He said, "Well, I might agree with you, but you're going to have to tell it to the judge." I don't make the laws, I enforce the law. So anyway, they took us down to jail in Boulder, and I was in this, the jail was all metal bars, metal floor, metal bed, everything was metal, and all the sounds in the jail echoed, you know, whatever sound was going on. I was stuck there in the cell all by myself. And then all my philosophy started to fall apart. Because I was thinking, wait a minute, you can't be, God can't be in anxiety. You're God. Inside the jail, outside the jail, it's all one, isn't it? Sure wish I was out of here. No, come on, you're God, you can't be in, God can't be in anxiety. All my philosophy was falling apart. And I kept thinking, no, inside the jail, outside the jail, it's all one. So anyway, I started doing anything to forget about the fact that I was in jail. And so I started singing, you know, old Bob Dylan songs. "There must be some kind of way out of here," said the Joker to the thief. "There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. My trip has been a pleasant one, my time, it wasn't long." Then suddenly I remembered that before we come down from the mountains one day, and there was a place called Central Park where all the hippies used to gather, all the young people would come there. So we were all sitting in the park one day, and this girl Angel walked into the park with her guitar. And she started playing Hare Krishna on her guitar. And so immediately we picked up our guitars, and I saw the chords that she was playing, so we started playing those chords. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we were all dancing around in a big circle in the park, just chanting Hare Krishna. So I thought, all right, because first I tried Om. I would sit, because it was just a temporary jail. There was a metal tray, but no mattress in it. So I sat in the metal tray, and even then it was very hard for me to sit and cross-legged. So somehow I managed to sit there cross-legged, and I would start chanting, Om. But as soon as it would end, all the sounds of the jail would come crashing down. I said, "I'm in jail, what am I going to do?" "No, it's all one, it's all one." But as soon as I started chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then suddenly, I didn't care, inside the jail, outside the jail, I was just chanting and chanting and chanting. And sure enough, all of a sudden, because on the way to the jail, we'd stop to pick up our ID at the camp. So everybody knew we were in jail. So there was one guy who used to sell certain substances that young people liked in those days. So he had a lot of money. So he came down. It was only $25 to bail us out. So he, you know. Everybody else in the jail was going crazy because I was just chanting and chanting and chanting. I hear them in the TV room watching TV, and I was like, shut up in there, will you? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Somehow chanting Hare Krishna, because chanting Hare Krishna, the actual mantra means, O energy of the Lord, O Supreme Lord, please engage me in your service, which is our natural position. So as soon as I was in my natural position as a servant of Krishna, singing his glories, I was perfectly happy. And finally, the jailer came. He said, "Your friend came and bailed you out. You can stop your chanting." Chief, he called me Big Chief. I was an Indian, you know, American Indian chief, because I had hair all over the place down to here, you know. He said, hey, Big Chief, you can stop your chanting. Your friends have bailed you out." And then very shortly after that, we ran into the devotees. The first devotee I ran into was Bhavananda. We went back to where they didn't even have a temple. They were just staying with some hippies outside of Boulder somewhere, trying to find a house to rent. And it was next day was Jamashtami. So first they fed us tons and tons, because we're going to fast all day. Jamashtami means fasting all day till midnight. So they fed us all this halava. I never tasted anything like halava, you know. And they made a big pot of it because we're going to fast all day. So we're just eating halava like anything. And the next day, I started talking with Bhavananda. So I said, Bhavananda, aren't we all God? And he looked at me and said, oh, you are God, and how you have forgotten. And that was like getting hit with a cement, a truckload of cement, you know, bam. Because that was the same question we used to ask. We used to speculate the speed of mind. I'm God, you're God. How did we miss it all this time? We used to ask the same question. And he said, oh, you're God, and how you have forgotten. Huh? And I thought, yeah, how God can forget? How can I? It was such a relief to realize that I wasn't God. Because things weren't happening the way I wanted. I ended up in jail. So many things were going on. It was starting to get cold in the mountains. I didn't know where we were going to go next. You know, it was an anxiety. And I think, no, God can't be an anxiety. It was such a relief. Oh, I'm not God. No wonder I'm in so much anxiety. It was such a relief to know that Krishna is in control of everything. So, after I realized that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of God and I was a servant, then everything was very nice. So this is the point, that Krishna in any form, even as 4 days old child, he's still the Supreme Personality of God with full potencies. There's no question of becoming God. God is already there. Either you're him or you're not. And no question in the future that by following some austerities or some yoga process or pressing your nose or something, you're going to become God. Either you're God now or you're not going to become Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada Sar said, here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. This is Krishna. I remember reading the Krishna book with Prabhupada in his garden in L.A. And we read about how Krishna and Balaram were passing urine all over the kitchen floor because they couldn't find the butter. And Prabhupada just smiled, one of those sweet smiles like a million suns rising in the sky. And Prabhupada just said, this is Krishna. So here Prabhupada saying, this is Krishna. And we're going to hear at the end of this chapter, we hear how kind Krishna is, because Putana came, she smeared poison on her breast, she came to kill Krishna. But Krishna noted, he had his little notebook, he noted that she came to kill, and she gave a little milk. Alright, she gave a little milk, let's liberate her. So even Sukadeva Goswami says that Krishna, he came to kill, Putana, she came to kill Krishna. But she did a little service, she offered the little milk. Krishna gave her liberation, not just ordinary liberation, but Jiva Goswami describes that she got, he said, like a mother. Like a mother means a nurse. Nurses like a mother. And he described that she got liberation all the way up to Goloka. But she's a special type of Sarupya Mukti, where she gets a form like a devotee. She gets to be in Golok, but she doesn't get in, because of her offense, she doesn't get any direct service of Krishna. She's just as a nurse, but she never gets direct service of Krishna. So Sukadeva Goswami, he's so astonished that Putana came to kill Krishna because she did some tiny little service. Krishna noted it down. And she got all the way to Golok. Then Sukadeva Goswami says, what will happen to those people who day and night are chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What is their destination? We can't imagine. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So we have a few minutes if anybody has questions. Yes. Well, they, just like we saw in the case of Hiranyakashipu, he performed such austerities that Such austerities no one knows. 100 years on the tips of my toes. So they perform great penances and austerities. Therefore, performing all these penances and austerities doesn't necessarily get us close to God, because we see even the demons perform austerities. And we see mostly their heart becomes very hard by doing all these dry austerities. But by performing devotional service, actually we get the best, we get the most powerful mystic power. We're able to change matter into spirit. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that whatever you offer to me, whatever is done in devotional service, then the offering, the person who's offering, the result of the offering, everything is Brahm, everything is transcendental. So we take ordinary matter, some orange and apple, and we cut it up and we offer it to Krishna and it becomes spiritualized. We have a house. In the old days we used to get a house in the low rent district of town where nobody wanted to go, and we painted funny colors and put a sign outside Radha Krishna temple. And people would walk in. I remember so many times somebody would walk into the house. Wow, there's some electricity was there in the air in that house, because everybody was enthusiastically serving Krishna. Something, just an ordinary house with cement and bricks and glass and steel and aluminum and carpet. But somehow or other, because this is being used in Krishna's service, it's totally spiritualized. So the devotees, they have the most powerful mystic power. They can change matter into spirit. And we saw just here in Madhuvan, this poor Amrish Maharaj, Durvas Muni thought that he offended him by drinking some water before he came, and he sent this huge demon, and Lord Sudarshan Chakra came and chased it. So it's not that the poor pious people are without powers, that behind them is Krishna, and they always have faith that Krishna, that's one of the in Nectar Devotion scribes, one should always have faith that Krishna will protect them in all circumstances. So if you perform grace, because even there in Madhuvan, just nearby here, Dhruva Maharaj was a little boy, he was performing his penances and austerities. He became so powerful, you're standing on one toe, then sometimes you may lose your balance and you'll wobble like that. But instead of him wobbling, the whole universe was wobbling. And all the demigods got frightened. They went to Lord Vishnu. You got to do something about this guy. Yeah? So we can get powers also, but devotees aren't interested in power. They know that Krishna will always protect them in all circumstances. Just like they were always talking about when I lived in California, every few years somebody would come up with some, that he got some prediction from his crystal ball, or he got a dream that there's going to be an earthquake and California is going to slide into the Pacific Ocean. And they went to Prabhupada, what should we do? Should we move to New York? And Prabhupada said, we are chanting Hare Krishna. Krishna will be not so unkind to let us fall into the ocean. And if he does, we'll all sit down together and chant Hare Krishna. Yes.
When
Putana
approached Krishna, Krishna closed his eyes.
Yeah.
Can you give reasons why Krishna closed his eyes? Can you give reasons why Krishna closed his eyes?
Somebody gave class the other day, told all those reasons. One reason was that he didn't have any fear of Putana, so he just closed his eyes. Otherwise, she was so simple that she had killed so many children. Putana, Putana is my name. Eating little children is my game. So he didn't want to see the face of this sinful person. Otherwise, that he was going to kill a woman, so he closed his eyes. I can't remember all the reasons right now. I didn't study that last night. But these are some of the reasons. Every acharya is given some reason. So if there's no more questions, we can all fall down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet that great personality who's given us this process of devotional service to make us most powerful under the protection of Krishna. See the Prabhupada ki.